Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 24th of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, Manx residents are being issued travel advice as tensions in the Middle East escalate. The government is under pressure after a new report warns the island's climate goals are falling off track. And the island has played host to a prestigious farming awards ceremony. All those stories and more coming up. Do drop us a text or email if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's cross over to Chanel Suku, who has the latest headlines. Fastamai, Chanel.
Fastamai. Isle of Man travel agents say they've seen an uptick in people wanting to take a different route while travelling to the Middle East. Escalating tension has prompted the UK Foreign Office to update advice to people travelling to other countries in the region.
We're seeing already a lot of people are wanting to just travel away from that area.
Ronald Way says it will work hard to keep disruption to a minimum when work resumes in the second half of the departure lounge tomorrow. Passengers will see new flooring and seating installed over the coming weeks, with all work expected to be completed around August. And the Department of Education, Sport and Culture is going to be reviewing what support it provides to Manx University students. Minister Daphne Kane has been responding to a question in the House of Keys about the combined incomes for graduate support.
Our review is looking at how we can divide the cake to best support all of those people on various household income levels.
In international news, Donald Trump's hit out at Israel and Iran, accusing them both of breaking a ceasefire. The US president swore on live TV, enraged that he was not happy with Israel as strikes continued despite the truce. Meanwhile, a second flight evacuating Britons from Israel has left Tel Aviv. Food delivery firms insist they have stringent checks after reports of cross-channel migrants being offered work just hours after arriving on small boats. Bosses have been summoned to meet UK ministers next week. And two bears have eaten a week's worth of honey after breaking out of their enclosure at an animal park in Devon. Wildwood Trust says Mish and Lucy were recaptured in under an hour. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Kurumaya, thank you very much for that, Chanel. I tell you what, bear news, we can't go wrong. Anything that's got bears is going straight to my basket. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Variable amounts of cloud as well as some bright or sunny intervals. Ongoing risk of a few outbreaks of rain or drizzle until the early evening. Then mainly dry thereafter. Fresh southwest winds becoming light and variable. Minimum temperature overnight is 13 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, is dry and bright with variable amounts of clouds. Cloud then thickening later in the day as the light winds settle to the south southwest and freshen. Top temperature tomorrow of 17 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company. Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5 minutes past five, and escalating tension in the Middle East has prompted the UK Foreign Office to update advice to people travelling to countries in the region. The UK government is warning of ongoing hostilities between Israel and Iran and the potential for the situation to deteriorate further on its safety and security page. For Isle of Man residents who have trips to the UAE and other further afield, some travel agents have seen an uptick in people wanting to take a different route. Edward Pearson, the director of Manx Travel, says only one client's flight was impacted over the weekend, but as the situation is quite fluid.
On Sunday and Monday, there were some cancellations for Doha and Dubai. There were some deviated flights that had to divert just out of that area, but it's very fluid. So we're just keeping an eye on things at the moment. But, you know, as long as people just keep an eye on their flight status, we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of days. The airlines are offering a flexible policy. Most of them, Emirates, British Airways, for anyone that was flying Sunday up till Tuesday, where they can still change their flights if they're not wanting to travel. Like the UK have put a travel warning on flying to Doha and Dubai, but it's not against travel. It's just to, you know, be vigilant, keep an eye on the news. We're seeing already a lot of people are wanting to just travel away from that area. So that we're seeing an uptick in people wanting to fly via the Med, Madrid, Charles de Gaulle, as those sort of stopovers, like Dubai is the biggest airport in the world. So, you know, some people are a little bit wary of flying through that region, but you know, there's other ways of doing it. And, you know, the airlines, they can divert the flights if something happened, if they were midair and the planes, they can just go via somewhere else, which they did do on Sunday.
Have you guys had some clients contact you, maybe with some concerns or anything like that?
Yeah, we just got some people. Again, it's down to Dubai. Some people are quite hesitant and a bit worried about, you know, what the future is. You know, is it going to be safe? So at the moment, you know, our advice is just let's just see how it goes. If there are any issues and there is a government warning to say that they are saying no travel apart from essential travel, then they're fully refundable. They can cancel their holidays. So it's, you know, there's nothing really to worry about at the moment until we know any more. But it's such a fluid thing. All we can do is just be at the end of the phone and just resecure our clients and make sure that they know we're there for them.
Edward Pearson, the director of Manx Travel, speaking there. 7 minutes past five, and let's turn our attention now to 20-mile-per-hour zones. They never seem to be far away from the headlines. The infrastructure minister has faced further questioning over the planned rollout of those 20-mile-per-hour zones in the House of Keys this afternoon. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas, a former DOI minister himself, wanted to know what the law and her department's policy is on public involvement in the changes to residential speed limits and parking zones. Minister Michelle Hayward.
The Road Traffic Regulation Act of 1985 provides the legal powers to introduce speed limits and parking zones on roads. Schedule 2 of that act sets out the procedure that must be followed before any new or amended traffic restrictions can be introduced. In terms of public involvement, the procedure requires the department to give notice of a proposal and allow a period of no less than 14 days for any person to raise an objection. The department's policy aligns with the legal requirements set out in the Road Traffic Regulation Act of 1985. Specifically ensures that the public consultation is conducted in accordance with these legal provisions. This means that any proposed changes to residential speed limits or parking zones are subject to that public notice period, during which residents and other stakeholders can submit their objections or their support. Currently, there are no plans to change the law regarding public involvement in changes to residential speed limits and parking zones.
Would the Minister advise whether the speed limits public involvement should be compared and even judged against what was laid out very clearly by the Department in respect of residential parking zones?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. As has been discussed in here this afternoon, the Department has started on a programme of much wider and longer public engagement on the effects of the Tim Ward motion around speed limits because they are of an unusual and significant scale. In that respect, parking zone reviews are not of the same scale.
Could I just ask the Minister, will residents be included in the promised parking zones review? Will they be able to take part or give their opinion on anything as the review takes place? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to reassure the Honourable Member that, of course, residents' views will be taken into account and we will be looking at how to best effect that.
Is the Minister confident that the current ongoing project for 20-mile-an-hour speed limits, that she hasn't broken the law?
Minister to reply.
Thank you. With respect to the Road Traffic Regulation Act of 1985, I'm confident that the department has not broken the law.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking there, facing questions in the House of Keys from earlier today. Do remember, though, there is that drop-in session tomorrow, the second of two drop-in sessions on the 20-mile-per-hour zones. That's going to be happening at the sea terminal, 3:30 in the afternoon through till 7. You can look at the proposals in a bit more detail. They have some boards up with the plans in some more depth. The Infrastructure Minister will also be there to answer any of your questions. 3:30 tomorrow until 7.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Just gone 10 minutes past 5, and the Isle of Man government is facing growing pressure to accelerate its climate change efforts after the latest official report revealed a number of critical targets are either at risk or have already been missed. The 2024-25 Climate Change Transformation Report outlines progress made under the Climate Change Plan 2022-2027. It provides a sector-by-sector update on the island's efforts to cut greenhouse gas emissions and transition to a net-zero economy. But the report highlights that some of the most important deliverables, particularly around electricity and buildings, are significantly behind schedule. I sat down with the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister, Claire Barber.
2024 has been a challenging year with lots of priorities elsewhere, looking at how we can support healthcare, how we can look at efficiencies across government and look at where we can support things such as housing. However, there have absolutely been some real win-win opportunities within the climate change sphere. And a lot of that has been around focusing on projects that have co-benefits. So one of the big spends really has been through the energy efficiency scheme and through Green Living Grant scheme. So looking at how we can reduce the heating emissions. And we have seen a big success story really in that area with 26% reduction, give or take, I think it is, since 2018.
Overall emissions have only fallen by 3.8% since 2018. The island is legally required to reduce them by 35% by 2030. Is that target still realistically achievable?
I think we're quite open that the changes in terms of the falls we've seen this year, and it is relatively small, is a lot of it due to people reducing the amount of heat they're using because of bills having risen, people making their own choices, and also some of that work that's been done around making homes more efficient. The really big wins through all of the climate change work will be decarbonisation of our electricity supply.
Because that is meant to be fully decarbonised by 2030, but the report now lists it as at risk. What is the plan to get that target back on track?
This is an area that we're doing a lot of work on at the minute in terms of finalising how we will do that. I think it's fair to say if you'd have looked 5 years ago, we felt there was a really obvious solution was around a second interconnector. We know there's now been a lot of conversation that there may be alternatives to that. And I think it's absolutely right that when we're looking at investing significant amounts of taxpayer money, that we ensure that we've done all of the background work so that we make a decision that is the one that hasn't got regrets for us.
Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber speaking with me there about the latest climate change transformation report. Approaching 13 minutes past 5, and authorities on the island are working to restore areas of peatland. This involves largely involves repairing the scars in the hillside left behind after peat dried and used for burning was removed. It's part of the biosphere work the island is so proud of, but while it's laudable, there are those who say, as with other areas of green restoration, what's the point and will it make any difference? John Moss has been up on the hills to find out.
So this is coir netting, and it's made as it's a byproduct of coconuts, so it's made from coconut husk. The bit around the outside that you described is currently now a nice sort of gently sloping angle, whereas before it was an overhanging cliff of peat, and historically people would have cut this area.
It's nice and close
fuel.
To the road
it
now.
Is, but it left a big overhanging cliff which would not naturally revegetate. So we had diggers on low ground pressure tracks that came in and smoothed out the angle of the slope, peel the vegetation back, they pull the peat down into a sort of 45 degree angle, and then they stretch the vegetation back over the top. But quite often, as you can imagine, there still would be bits of bare peat.
You have to rely on the peat that's here. You can't sort of import
peat. Oh no, we don't import peat. No, we don't import it. So they're just using what's on site. So we've covered it with the heather brash and the coir netting and split it into sections so they're a bit more, it's a bit more sheltered from the wind. And as you can see, there's lots of vegetation growing.
How long has this been
through.
Here, this particular?
This has only been here for maybe a few months. So, and you can already see lots of vegetation starting to establish. It just couldn't get a foothold before because it was too exposed to the weather.
What use, I mean, this is only a small area.
Yes.
What use is this in the order of things?
So I think every little bit counts. So our uplands on the Isle of Man are generally covered in a blanket of peat, some of it deeper than others, and that's, like we said, stores lots of carbon. So I think if we can do our bit to protect that carbon that's stored in there, that would really help. But it also has other benefits far away from climate change, which we're looking at improving the habitat for wildlife. We're looking at keeping the hills wetter so that they're more resilient to wildfire risk.
So this will retain water,
will it? It will retain more. But also the vegetation we're trying to get growing here is a special type of moss called sphagnum moss. And that really absorbs lots of water, so it keeps the hills nice and wet and really reduces the risks of wildfire. And not only that, it's also really important in reducing flood risk as well.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a couple of things to be aware of across the island. We'll start in Douglas. Temporary lights on Broadway near the Victoria Road turn. That's for resurfacing work. Over in Sandton, temporary lights on the Newcastle Town Road. That's near Mount Murray, and that's also for resurfacing. Over in Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge for work on the manholes. And in Peel all this week, temporary lights on the main road near QE2 High School, 24 hours a day for gas work. As far as anything else goes, nothing major to report, but if you do spot anything while you're out and about, do let us know, as long as it's safe and legal to do so. 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Over at the Steam Packet, no changes to be aware of down there. The Mananan is set to arrive in Liverpool in around 45 minutes, I suppose, and the Manxman back in Douglas at 6:05. And over at the airport, everything looking good on the arrivals and departures board, no problems there.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Hello, this is Andy Wint and Teresa Cope, Chief Executive of Manx Care's Next on Man in Line. The organisation which delivers healthcare and social care on the Isle of Man is 4 years old and never far away from the headlines. So how does the boss see the future for Manx Care, for the patients and the personnel? The new health levy will provide more funds for healthcare and social care, but what's your experience and what's your view? Talk to Manx Care's Chief Executive, Teresa Cope, tomorrow at midday on Smart Devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The island's latest unemployment figures are in, and while the overall rate remains low, there's a growing gap between those looking for work and the jobs available. Lewis Foster's been looking through the report. Faster My Lewis, just give us a flavour of what the numbers mean.
Faster My, yeah. Well, unemployment has dipped slightly. 296 people were registered as out of work at the end of May, which is 23 fewer than in April. The unemployment rate is holding steady at 0.7%, still one of the lowest we've seen in years. But there's a catch in that job vacancies have dropped sharply.
And how significant is that drop?
Quite significant. There were 133 fewer vacancies at the job centre compared to the previous month, leaving just 474 jobs available. Most of those are full-time roles, but among the part-time positions, around one in five are seasonal or temporary.
And yet we're still seeing unemployment in sectors where vacancies actually exist.
Yeah, exactly. It suggests that there's a mismatch. Sectors like retail, hospitality and health services all have dozens of vacancies, but they're also the sectors with the highest number of people out of work. So it's not just about availability. It's also about skills, experience, or perhaps job suitability and conditions.
And is there any detail on who is being most affected?
Men continue to make up the majority of those out of work, and most job seekers are aged between 20 and 29. The majority have been unemployed for under 3 months, but 25 people have been out of work for over a year. Geographically, Douglas and Onchan account for more than two-thirds of all unemployment.
Lewis, thank you very much for that, with the latest on the jobs and unemployment on the island. 5:18, and the Department of Education, Sport and Culture is going to be reviewing what support it provides to Manx University students. Minister Daphne Kane has been responding to a question in the House of Keys about the combined incomes for graduate support. Currently, there are three grants and a loan available to students, which are mostly means tested. Mrs. Kane, who declared she has children of university age, says the review won't change what support is offered, but how it can be offered to the most number of people.
We are undertaking to review student awards as we have them. We are undertaking to review the thresholds and the amount of fees in light as the universities in England have increased their fees, which the department is absorbing for students departing for their studies in this autumn 2025. But we have to look at the demands on the system. There's only so much money in the pot, but no, I don't want to see 100% loans for the vast majority of students, which is the system they have over in the UK. That isn't part of this review. This review is looking at the grants, maintenance, thresholds, everything to do with the system that we currently operate. I don't feel at all conflicted. The department is reviewing the student awards that we operate. We are not intending a completely different system of 100% loan, as I don't know if that's something honourable members want to see. We are fully aware that there is a changing nature of students, and more students are opting to earn as you learn opportunities, courses, HNCs, also an increase in those wanting distance learning and studying at University College of Man. And our review is looking at how we can divide the cake to best support all of those people on various household income levels, and that is all part of our review.
Education, Sport and Culture Minister Daphne Kane speaking in the House of Keys there. Well, let's stay with education because a specialist in teaching dyslexic children in school classrooms has been describing the measures they use to a Timwald Select Committee. This is Kristen Cass from Barton Hill Academy in Bristol. She was asked by the committee, which is chaired by MHK Rob Callister, about her background and to describe some of the many measures used to help teach such children.
We aim from the very beginning, from as young as possible, to remove barriers. Early intervention as much as possible, identifying it and getting the support in. Then looking at the classroom. If they've been assessed, then there will be intervention in place, which we try not to remove them from the classroom. We still have very high expectations of these children. So for example, they may be more tired than others because their brain is working overtime to do the things that most people can just do. They might not be able to produce as much writing, so we might ask them for less writing, but that doesn't mean we want to compromise on the standard or the effort that's gone in. Our marking policy ensures that children don't have every single spelling mistake corrected and are practicing keywords over and over and over again because they find them really difficult to learn. We have different ways of recording for them, so we have Seesaw. Every child's got a Chromebook. Someone was getting told off, they kept shouting out. They're shouting out because they can't hold on to what they want for as long as everybody else because it might go from their brain. So it's like, okay, we might have to go to you first or we'll go to you quicker. Sorry for jumping the queue, other children, but because, yeah, stop shouting out. Oh, I need to shout out because I've got it. So some of it's really small tweaks. Our classroom environment's not too cluttered. That works for everybody. Not too much on the wall, so you're not having your cognitive overload. We try and use buff backgrounds, buff paper, reduce black and white, looking at visual stress.
Kristen Cass from Barton Hill Academy in Bristol, a specialist in teaching dyslexic children, giving evidence to a Timwald Select Committee. And that Select Committee was set up as a direct result of a Timwald petition around about this time last year, actually. And that was from the Dyslexia Advocacy Group.
The Journey to a Dream podcast is where racing meets real life, from onboards to odd jobs and friendships forged at full throttle. This is all about motorcycle life beyond the helmet.
You can watch as many onboards, you can think you know where you're going, but everything changes at speed.
I'm a forklift mechanic. I've never had to say that in English.
What is it in Dutch?
Ben een heftruckmonteur.
Every time you go to a race meeting, before you know it, you can soon strike up great friendships and conversations because the motorcycling sort of community is so connected.
The Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, is available now on the Manx Radio Motorsport website or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Beth. 23 minutes past five, and the Isle of Man has hosted this year's Silver Lapwing Awards. It's considered one of the most prestigious accolades in conservation farming and was won by the island's first ever Manx entrance this year. Around two dozen visitors from across the UK came to the island for the event. Simon Clark was there and started by talking to the chairman of the Isle of Man branch of the Farming and Wildlife Advisory Group, Paul Fletcher.
It's a bit like the Eurovision. David and Rob won this Silver Lapwing Award, top award for farm management conservation in the UK. They won it last year, so it's like Eurovision. So as a result, they had to host it this year. We were fortunate to put them forward. It's taken a lot of years of negotiation, but because the Almans are a small farming area, to us it's the whole island, but they were up against regional finalists that were representing 5, 6, 7 counties in England, one person. So they were up against massive representation. So for them to scoop the award was one on its own. But as a result, we had these visitors over, a couple of dozen over from across.
The setup, even at Ballygourne, it was the perfect day. And you can't get much of a better view than Ballygourne Farm across the south of the Isle of Man on any farm on the island, really.
No, it's a lovely sweeping view, and all the visitors and the Manx folk alike were so complimentary. And there was so much pulling together on the day from all the different elements of the farming community. I mean, people were, you know, the creamery, obviously Dave and Rob are strong dairy farmers. We must pay tribute to all the different organisations that supported us. I'd hate to list them all and miss one out, but we want to thank them all. And, you know, there's so many different people had gifted and supported in different ways.
By the comments I heard from the visitors, a lot of them here for the first time, I think you've all done the Isle of Man proud. And let's hope that with what's happened, we can get another winner of this award and maybe have them all back on the island.
Why not? Why not? But what is great is that from this event, Simon, we've established so many really strong contacts, opportunities through the FWAG network across England and Wales to draw on their expertise, their support, advisory support and so on, and to be able to bring some of that home to help the local industry.
Simon Clark there, speaking with Paul Fletcher from the Farming and Wildlife Advisory Group. And you'll be able to hear more from Simon and Kiri in Country Life shortly, in around about 4 minutes' time, actually. Right, let's turn our attention to sport, and we'll say hello to Darren Timpson. Fastamai.
Fastamai, starting in golf, and after a weekend of qualifiers, the men's round of 16 is set to take place at Mount Murray tonight. Daryl Callister topped the qualifying standings, scoring 7 under par, and he'll play PJ Vermeulen. Chris Neen, the only other player to be on the par, came second, and he'll play 15th seed Mark Sutton. And finally, third place, Mark Harrison will face defending champion Robert Noone, who's aiming for his fourth title in a row. The first tee will shoot off at 5 p.m. this evening. On to cycling, Max Walker, Ben Swift and Elizabeth Holden have all been on the road the past few days. Walker of team AF Education Easy Post took part in the Tour de Suisse and finished 114th in the general classification. The 23-year-old's best finish came in the 7th stage as he finished in 106th after racing from Nauhausen to Rheinfall. Swift, meanwhile, also competed in the Tour de Suisse and had a much better outing as he came 46th in the general classification. The Ineos Grenadiers rider's best results came in the first two rounds as he managed an 11th and 17th place, respectively. And finally, Holden took part in the Copenhagen Sprint on Saturday. The UAE team Aid UK Q rider finished 77th as the peloton race from 101st from Rosglad to the capital. And in cricket, Peel and Cronkbourne remain locked at the top of the T10 weekend Premier League. The Tramode club are currently ahead on net run rate as the division comes to the halfway stage. Both clubs saw comfortable victories at the weekend as Cronkbourne won by 119 runs after setting a total of 187 for 2 against Finch Hill. Meanwhile, Peel bowled Crosby out for 81 runs and chased down the 82 run total in 6 overs. And finally, Manx tennis star Billy Harris is currently underway against British tennis player Cameron Norrie. The match is in its first set at the Lexus Eastbourne Open.
Thank you very much, Darren. Good luck to Billy Harris. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Chanel Suku, Simon Clark and Kiri Kermode up next with Countryside, Chris Kinley's Greatest Hits after that from 6, John Barker in the hot seat from 9 with The Folk Show, and then, of course, last but not least, Dave Moore taking you through till midnight with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. And so until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.